Welcome to the Old Toronto Magazine podcast, and tonight we'll be speaking to Sanna Duffy, who has just set a new fastest known time on the Pembrokeshire Coastal Path of 51 hours and 30 minutes. Sanna has also just raised £3,900 and counting for the Wales Air Ambulance Trust.
Yeah, quite surprised. It's all pretty good. I had my first massage yesterday, and I'm surprised I could even have it. And I went for a little jog tonight as well.
That's really good, considering, because from what I can see over the last few days, the weather's been beyond testing, really. Was it pretty bad during the attempt?
From 11 o'clock Friday, it started raining in the night, and it didn't stop until I literally hit AMCOT about half 11, so it was like 12 hours of rain and that wind as well, obviously being on the coast. It was, you're pretty open there, so that was good fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it was kind of a baptism of fire in a way, you know. It was quite, it made it difficult for you, didn't it?
It was biblical, definitely.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your background, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. So I my first ever race then was your park run, a 5K back then. It was a Race for Life, a 5K, and a little bit of a bug, but didn't do much more other than that. That would have been about 10 years ago, a normal gym and spin, that type of thing. And then I came back to Pembrokeshire, so I moved to Cardiff for a bit and started doing a bit more running. It's hard not to stay inside in Pembrokeshire, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I did my first marathon in 2013. It was horrible, but still wanted to do more. I did the iconic like London Marathon and things. But that marathon, it's all right, but it's either you're really fast or you stay where you are. So I decided to try an ultra in 2015 and been hooked since.
Right. Yeah, what ultra was that?
It was the Gower Ultra, 50 miles.
Yeah.
So, I did a road one. I didn't enjoy that as much, but I think that was my first ever win in an ultra.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm quite good at this.
Is there certain things that kind of draw you to the ultra marathons, would you say?
I like it because it's kind of an escapism while you're out there. All you have to think about is eating and getting to the next checkpoint and getting to the finish, and for however many hours it is, it's just all about that, putting one foot, being outside, meeting great people.
Well, we were all basically I was hearing from a few people when I had an event at the same kind of time, but basically I was hearing from a number of different people about what you were doing, and it was raising a lot of eyebrows, so you should be really kind of proud of what you've done. You know, it was really amazing, you know, really great time. So you've got a bit of history with the Coastal Path there. Can you tell me about it? Did you try a year before, something like that?
I tried in August. The weather was okay, but it did kind of forecast like a big weather front coming in.
Yeah.
But I just naively still decided to set off. And I thought, maybe it won't be, you know, it's like the weather, sometimes it's not as bad as they say it's going to be. I'm very optimistic that it's going to be all right. And I guess I ran in wind and rain before, how bad could it be? It was okay for a few hours, for about 10 hours. And then it hit. Yeah. It wasn't even the rain that was bad. It was the gusts. They were coming every which way, and it was dangerous. It wasn't just myself. I had to think of it. To think of my support team, and the other people that were there. It was silly to continue, because that was only 10 o'clock at night. So I would have had another good few hours of that in the night, and I would have just been exhausted to have continued. So I stopped at Port Clyde for 14 hours of running. It was just under 68 miles.
Yeah.
Got picked up, and then the next day, then when I The weather, it did not ease at all, so it was definitely like, you know, sometimes you can just have a blurry few hours and then it eases, but it didn't. It was relentless. It stayed for 2 days.
So yeah, you've sometimes got to kind of look at it. You live to fight another day, you know what I mean? So yeah, it sounds like you're experienced enough to kind of like to look at it and kind of make that decision, which was really, really good. Really good call by the sounds of things. Is there anything else would you say that you kind of learned from the first time, the experience of the first time round that you took into
It's
the
better with
second?
the weather and move it a day forward when it wasn't that bad. There was no need to push through. I felt absolutely gutted when I had to quit. I felt horrible, but then I realised that people, they're not going to judge you for quitting. They're going to support you no matter what. It wasn't a reflection on myself.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
anyway, it wasn't like I failed. Everybody respected that, and that was really nice to feel the support still. And I think actually failing the first time made me even stronger, not just because of the challenges, but in my mentality, it made me more determined and stronger to do it the second
To
time.
do it, yeah, absolutely. It's got that bit between your teeth, then, haven't you? You know, you've got that reason to do it, you know. Yeah, it just makes you that much more determined, and you seem really, really determined from what I've kind of picked up on, you know, in terms of the feedback afterwards and the interviews and that. And you've had such great support, you know. It's lovely to see that.
Oh, it was amazing. I think as well, we've all kind of been in our little bubbles with COVID, haven't we?
We have.
I just felt so nice. I felt so loved and supported. It was amazing. I can't thank everyone enough. Wish I could. It was phenomenal. It takes my breath away now, even to think about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of love. There's a lot of love, isn't there? It's good. It's good. And you know what we all need more than ever is inspiring people. So, you know, you're one of those people. So just kind of remember that. You know, it's that's what we really need more than ever at the minute. You know, so yeah, really well done. In terms of your preparation for it, so it's something that you've been planning for a good amount of time. Can you tell me about your training approach in something like this?
I obviously in 2019 I did have races planned like a lot of people, and I did have a gym kind of session planned, but obviously that all went a little bit wrong. So when I re and they closed the coast path as well down here, so I had to mix up my training a bit on local bridleways. So I just upped my mileage. I couldn't have massages and stuff, so made sure I did like lots of yoga on the YouTube videos and with what weights I had at home, and got dog walks as well. Obviously it was all from home, wasn't it, for a good few months. And I don't know why, but I ran 300 miles in March, and then I wanted to continue it. I thought that would be good prep to continue the high mileage. So I did that, and then after I failed the first time, I continued to do it because I knew I was going to want to do it again. So I had 12 months of 300 miles or more a month, and I think that really helped put my legs in the good condition, without being able to travel to harder grounds. I mean, obviously, when the restrictions eased, I did travel and do other sections of the coast path. But yeah, I think just maintaining good mileage, good eating, and hydration obviously plays a good toll as well, and just keeping moving and doing whatever you can from home is mobility wise as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. In terms of your support crew, did you have a number of people kind of like that you basically brought in to help you at certain points during it?
So I had two main support vehicles. One was my dad in his Land Rover,
Brilliant.
and then Andrew, who then had a very opposite little VW up that we got. So two extremes, and they kind of shared it. But my dad did most of the support. Andrew called me a diva, that's my partner. I call it focus. And I had all the boxes. I had a box of socks, box of like meds, box of gels in, box of certain kits in. So it was all laid out for them.
Brilliant.
And when I got to the checkpoint, I'd be like, sock box, food. You know, it was all laid out ready for them. And then I had some friends that joined me along the way. Then so through the night, I was never on my own because obviously it's not that safe. Going through the night on the coast, and then at the on the second day, the end of the second day, the third day, I had people with me all the time because of the tiredness.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's really kind of wise, and it just kind of keeps you moving, doesn't it? It keeps you going.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
In terms of basically when you're looking at your nutrition during something like this, is there certain kind of things that you preferred?
My main like non-running food thing, which I've never eaten before on the road, was a chicken and sweet corn sandwiches.
Right. Okay.
It stayed down and it did the trick.
Yeah.
And somebody gave me this amazing organic chocolate brownie, which is like the best chocolate I ever ate. It was coming into the evening of the second day. It was just amazing.
Those little
really
surprises.
Lover, but I obviously needed that.
You need to get that recipe by the sounds of things, you know.
Yeah. It was amazing,
and that's a message. those kind of things. Sometimes those little things are great little pick me ups during it, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny what kind of can really kind of give you that edge, you know.
And cheer you up as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody's been thinking about you and cook you something specifically. You know, it's really cool that. That's really good. In terms of sleep, did you have much sleep during it?
I had like a 20-minute stop after on like 5 o'clock of the first morning. I struggled to keep some food down, so I took some like antacids and ate, and then stopped because I decided if I tried to run, I was definitely going to be sick. So I had that, and then. After all that, the rain really hit really bad for a few early hours on Saturday morning. I think I was just a bit exhausted, and I was walking along the coast path, and I started to fall asleep.
Oh dear!
Luckily, my friend Martin was there, and he said I kept just saying I'm so sleepy. We decided that I would have to actually stop and like have a power nap on that at Fresh East. And I said right. No more than 15 minutes, make sure you wake me up at 6 o'clock. And I woke up myself dead on 6 o'clock. I was like, come on, let's go. And I was fine.
Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing, the human body, you know. It sounds like, you know, you've really kind of... you know, you've done really well in terms of the lack of sleep there, you know, but so you've obviously had a lot of practice over the years, you know, but that's brilliant. In terms of your low points during something like this, were there certain kind of points where you were like, you hit the wall a bit?
There was one bit. It was about 80 odd miles in, and I think it was just I struggled to eat in the night, and obviously that took its toll.
Yeah.
I questioned everything, like you do in a low point, like I'm not good enough, why did I think I could even do this, and you know, all those types of things. And my friend who's with me at the time, like, just made me realize that, you know, I have to do it. It was tough love, you know, I needed
it.
And then after that I got food in then, and I did feel a lot better, and after that I never wanted to, there was never any wanting to quit again. I mean, it was tough when that rain and wind hit, but I didn't want to quit. It was just hard. I was on a mission, just get through it. One really low point, I'd say.
Yeah, I think sometimes, it's when you've kind of like been there and you've learned something from the first time, not necessarily failure or anything like that. It's more really a case of just learning from, you know, about the process. You don't want to have to do it all over again, you know what
I was like, I'm not getting 80 miles in, and I'm just start all this again. And
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I have done before this. I have done two 200 mile races,
Right, brilliant. Yeah.
and that was on the coastline. So I did have some experience of that type of thing.
Yeah.
But that seems a lot easier now
Yeah, no, it's
compared to what I've just done.
yeah, the coastal path there. Now, can you tell me about what kind of terrain? What was it, obviously it was kind of up and down, or I'm thinking that it was. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Yeah, of course. So the coast path has everything in it. It has mud, it has rocks, it has sandy beaches, pebble beaches, and road and woods as well. So it's very varied, which is great for, not getting bored, but it does take its toll on your feet. The elevation is, there is ups and there is downs, and the downs hammered my quads. I mean, I had to use poles after 100 miles, and they felt it. They were pumping. Some of the uphills are just cruel. Like at the valleys in it was higher than, I know I'm not very tall, but they were above my head. Like, it's so deep. But I think that it's so brutal. It's beautiful. You just have to respect it. And I definitely had, if you go in thinking it's easy, or cause it's not like a mountain. It's not got peaks like mountains do. But it's not easy either.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It sounds absolutely beautiful around there. In terms of your high points during the attempts, what would you say was there particular parts that were kind of really were special to you?
Seeing my weight colleagues at a couple of points, that was really nice. I didn't know they were coming out, so that was good. Hitting Sandy Haven because there's a tidal crossing,
Yeah.
so obviously I had to plan for that, and hitting that at low tide, I was like, even though I did know I'd hit it at low, but still getting there was still the best feeling. I was just ecstatic running across the little bridge that's there. Also, coming on Saturday when I come round, because I live on part of the coast path, so once I passed my home bit, that felt great as well, because I was a bit worried whether I'd just go home to bed.
Too easy,
But yeah,
eh?
and obviously the finish was just the best, and everyone there, yeah, very emotional, but it was amazing. I don't think I'll ever forget it.
What was it? What was going through your mind when you were kind of approaching the finish and you saw your family and.
I was just like, yes, I've done it finally. I wanted it for so long, and now I've done it. I was just so happy that I'd done it for myself, for everyone. And when I realised how much I'd donated and how much support I'd had online, not to donate, to raise money, sorry, I just couldn't believe it. It didn't feel like me. You feel like you're watching it from outside.
It's a special experience for you. What's the feedback been from likes of your dad and your partner? What have they said to
They're very tired initially.
you?
They don't wait 2 nights following me around. But yeah, they're just happy, and they just want me to make sure I recover correctly. And Andrew, my partner, just so proud, and my dad as well. It's very nice to help your daughter make his dream come true, and you can just see she's telling everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think that this journey has taught you? Has it taught you anything about yourself?
That I'm tougher, but maybe what I think, that our bodies are amazing things, and definitely we need to look after them. And how much food and just nutrition, we all know it's important, but it really does show how important. I think sometimes, especially for females and women athletes, sometimes we don't always eat right because we want to look a certain way as much as perform. But I had to eat right to make sure I could perform up, for a month up to this, and it paid off. It's just so important. that is more to our bodies than just how we look. You know, they're amazing things, and if we treat them right, they can take us on amazing journeys.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, I think I speak for the full ultra running community when I say that, you know, you've absolutely, you know, done yourself proud, and you've done brilliant, you know, and just to you know, turn up and have another go at it, you know, and not kind of like just stop, and you know, the wind blowing, and you know, the rain coming down, and you just kept on at it, you know. So it's really, you know, that's really great to see, you know, from somebody outside looking in. You know, it's always just somebody kind of pushing as hard as they can. It's just brilliant, brilliant.
I definitely gave it my all, and I don't think I've ever given my all in anything before. And it's an amazing feeling to know that you did that and it pays off.
Yeah, that's everything kind of came together for you on the day, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the perfect journey, but I'm not sure there ever is over that type of distance. But yeah. I think it went really well. I think I executed it well, and so did my support team. It almost went perfect apart from that weather. But yeah, it was part of it, though. I think it made it seem those stormy seas and having to battle that little bit harder, you know, it's not always a bad thing.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, the thing is that on the coastline, you know, if it's too hot, it can really destroy yourself, you know. So in a way, with it being you know, a bit more of a mixed bag, and poor weather, at least you didn't have that, you know, because the you know, the it can be quite cruel, you know, on the coastline, can't it? But
it's quite open, and the sun reflecting back, you can kind of feel like you're getting a double whammy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. A few years ago, I did Ring of Fire with Bing, you know, in the Anglesey, and it was really kind of like you know, four seasons, you know, during the event itself, and oh my goodness, you know, it was beautiful. I can imagine that it's very similar to, you know, the kind of up and down and train, you know, there. And but yeah, it's so the record, you actually beat it by about 17 hours, is that about right?
I think it was 13. It's 64 and something.
13, yes, so. Yes, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you finished in about 51 hours and 30 minutes, something like that?
Yeah, in a few seconds.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. What, are you pleased with the time? Was that kind of really what you were kind of setting out for? What kind of time did you schedule in?
I hoped for like 50, so yeah. I don't think that's too bad over that distance to be an hour and a bit out. So yeah, and I've never done that. Like, I know I've done 100, but another 80 odd of them look quite a lot. I've never done that type of distance before, so and my support crew hadn't done anything like it before either, so I think it went really well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an amazing time. You know, it's a really tough course, and you've done absolutely brilliant there. So what's next for you?
I got elected, because obviously races are starting, just a few ultras, the Pegasus Ultras, which are all held in Wales.
Yeah.
So I've got them lined up, at what, their first one in July. And then there's another little bit of close pass, that's a 60-mile FKT. So I'm playing on the idea of going to get that one.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. That sounds like a great idea. I think the FKTs are your kind of thing at the minute, definitely, you know.
Yeah, I do enjoy them. I think I enjoy it more than racing. It's just a completely different feel. But yeah, I think there's a couple I've been looking on the website, so eyeing them up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good thing. You know, is there something in particular that you prefer about kind of doing the solo kind of things over and above the race? And is there certain things that kind of really that attracts you to that? Is it like you're just going at your own pace? You're not kind of drawn into other people. So what kind of things would you say?
Yeah, it's very much that. I mean, I love runners, and most of us are great people, if not all of us. But I do find, like start line hard, you know, we're all there and only there like on my own, and it all feels very overwhelming and nerve-wracking, and I get a bit anxious, and I'm fine once I'm a few miles in, but it is tough. Whereas an FKT, it's still chasing the clock, you know, it's still pushing, and then sometimes it's harder because you've only got you that push you, you've not got people to beat, so to speak. But it's much calmer, which is what I like, and I like my running because it calms me down and de-stresses me, and that's what FKTs do.
Absolutely. Well, really appreciate your time tonight. It's been lovely to speak to you, and you know, it's just a brilliant journey and a brilliant achievement that you've done there. I think all the time, you know, these kind of things that can really kind of turn heads, you know, and give people motivation to get back out there as well, because we've all been indoors for so long, and we need inspiring people, you know. So it's really brilliant to kind of see this. So thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you very much for having me in it. And I think it's great that other people want to get outside and run as well. We'll just walk. We all need to get outside, like you said. It's just great for your soul and mind and body.
It is, absolutely. Couldn't say it better.